Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
So, man, we're back for another episode, man, the Listen Up Podcast. We had the reaction show, but this one's going to be more of our breakdown. But before we get started, man, make sure you click that subscribe button on the YouTube page. Leave comments under the YouTube page, letting us know what you think, man. We go through and read those, and we'll absolutely be responding back to it. And also turn on those notifications, man. That's on every single platform we on, man. Turn on your notifications, hit subscribe. We appreciate it, man, everybody. So we had the instant reaction. Those are always fun, you know what I mean? I'm sorry I wasn't able to kind of stay longer, man, but I traveled back into the city, and the arrangements that were set up was clearly not ideal, man. But I'll make sure that we can have that situated after well, maybe not next week's, but after that Wake Forest game for sure. We'll definitely make sure we fix that. But Sam, man, we all know 41-38. Heartbreaking loss in overtime, a game that I think Florida State fans, I honestly gonna say, are a bit indifferent. I see a lot of proud, but I'm also seeing a lot of no more victories. You know what I'm saying? And when you root for Florida State, I can understand it. But just give me a little bit of your thoughts.
The same people that saying no more victories are also taking more victories too, though. That's like the funny thing to me. Like, no more victories, but I just want to say this team really played hard.
I was going to say, it sounds like they described the moral victory while not saying it. They just don't want the name to be a moral victory. But listen, man, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to take that moral victory. I ain't going to lie to you.
It was funny to me. That was kind of funny to me watching everybody say that. It was like, no more victories, but. I was like, okay. All
right. Yeah, so, now it's a whole lot of no more victories, but.
But, nah, man, I mean, the guys played hard. You know, it's funny to me because I actually picked the team to win. Yeah. So nothing that happened, like, really surprised me. Like, I thought that Notre Dame had a lot of new moving pieces on the defense, right? They got a new coordinator. They lost a lot on the defense. New coordinator, got to teach them a lot. New offensive line. So I actually didn't go into the game thinking they would actually run the ball that well, because I thought, okay, you got a new offensive line against a pretty veteran defensive line that's played a lot of football. Now, they haven't played a lot of football together, but that D-line, you know, Jermaine Johnson, Coop, and Kira Thomas, those guys have all played a lot of football on this level, mm-hmm. playing against a bunch of freshmen,
right?
And guys that haven't played football. So I thought that matchup would favor us in the game. So, like, I guess for me, I'm more disappointed than everybody else because I actually thought we was going to win the game. I said that. I felt like this would be our Notre Dame game. I mean, our North Carolina game would be the Notre Dame game. So nothing that happened really surprised me as much. You know, I have some things. We'll get into the thoughts and everything, but yeah, I had some things I was a little disappointed in, and I mean, I picked us to win, and I was the only one that did it, and people called me crazy.
So it's funny. So I didn't. Everybody knew. Like, it's funny. So I went from, all right, it'll be a close loss, you know, 28-24, I think is what the score I picked, to I think right before the game, me and you talked. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like this one's probably gonna get out of hand. I think it's just levels in the trenches, man. And I didn't know. I guess I was still feeling a little bit away about our linebackers. I've always felt bad, you know what I mean? Like, I never feel good about Adam Fuller and the defense that's gonna be called. And right. I wasn't sure if we were gonna be able to put up enough points with Notre Dame's defense, even with a new defensive coordinator. I still wasn't sure if we were gonna be able to put up enough points to kind of make that game close. So when I talked to you earlier, I was like, yeah, I'm feeling more and more like it's gonna be a blowout. So the game started and boom, 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 wide open tight end.
Right.
Adam Fuller special. All right.
Here we go. Let's
buckle up. You know what I mean? Let's buckle up for a long season. And then after seeing us on offense where it was just struggle. I mean, like they look like they were exactly what we talked about. That line, our offensive line was not gonna be able to hold up against their defensive line, period. And that's what it looked like very early on. We couldn't get any positive momentum. I thought Jordan Travis looked erratic. He looked at the moment that got a little bit too big for him. And I was like, well, I can't see how we're going to, you know, be able to continue to hold him. Because right. honestly, after that first drive, the defense made, and I'm going to give Adam Fuller some credit, they actually made an adjustment that worked. And they were able to, you know, keep the tight end at bay for a little bit. They were definitely able to kind of slow down the run game. And they made, you know, they forced that quarterback into having to make some tough throws. Hey, yeah. I'll take it when it comes to the defense. Well, I think it was four straight possessions where we stopped or held them to a punt. So for me, I'm saying, you know, great job. You keep giving our offense an opportunity. And that's what happened. Counter play, we had Gibbons, great job, you know what I mean, kicking out on a block. And I'm going to tell you this, one thing I realized about I don't know why buddy name just escaped me.
Am I Gibbons?
No, the running back.
Corbin.
Thank you. By Joshua Corbin is he looks faster. He looks faster. He looks more explosive. T-Wick told me this, and I got to give him props. And I hate having to tell him when he right because it don't do nothing but feed his ego. But
yeah, it does feed his ego.
Yeah, but I got to tell him, like, I think he may have told me and you last year when I was like, listen, Corbin ain't it. You know what I mean? I like Corbin. He's a solid runner, but he ain't it. He's not going to be your home run threat. And he told me he wasn't healthy. He was like, he's not healthy. I promise you he's not healthy. I think it was something with his knee or something like that, but he was like, he said, if you look at that Duke game, he said he looked more explosive because he's fully healthy. And I said, man, it's Duke. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get me to say he looked more explosive against Duke.
Right.
But, I mean, in reality of it, he looked shiftier. You know what I mean? Like, the kickout blocks is what made it a decent run. He did the rest. You know what I mean? He broke through a tackle. He was able to, you know, sidestep another defender and then just not get caught. And then, again, I got to give credit to McClain, who I just saw on Twitter, had the Pro Football Focus best run blocking grade for the team with a 79.
Yeah.
So when you tell me, wait a minute, we got wide receivers getting the best block grading? Oh, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? So and on that run, he also helped, you know, spring the touchdown. So it was a lot of good on that play, right? So now you're telling me 7-7 going at the end of the first quarter. I think as a Florida State fan, any fan would have taken it. And when you talk about – where the game went after that.
Right.
The biggest thing for me, my biggest takeaway was Florida State fault. I don't know a team in the last 5 years.
Right.
That's actually had like real adversity, right? Like we were leading at one point and I was like, okay, let's see how they play with a lead. They lost the lead. And let me see how they come back from a lead. You know what I mean? Right. If they still going to be in the fight. They they got down big, 18 points. And they still continue to play. And I said, that right there, out of everything else I've seen, forget the execution, forget the coaching or whatever, that's what we haven't seen. We talked about being in the stadium for that Boise State game and watching the lead evaporate and seeing just you could see it. The quit had happened before Boise State had even tied it up.
Right.
It was, oh, man, they don't have two possessions. We don't know what to do. But, no, defense continued to play. They continued to fight. The stadium, you know, continue to rock. Shout out to the fans, you know what I mean? It looked explosive, and all the recruits talked about it. And then shout out to, you know, just the players and the coaches for being involved and the keeping and the I hate the word buy-in, but it looked like buy-in. You know what I'm saying? It looked like everybody had said, no, this ain't the same Florida State team of old. We not going out like the same Florida State team of old because down 18, this Florida State team of old would have lost by 30. And we'd have said, man, okay, they did all right. And we'd have been able to find some points. But they didn't. So that was my biggest takeaway from the game.
I thought I talked to somebody that was at the game that was kind of close to everybody, coaches and everything. He said that when the guys got down by 18, I don't want to say that part. Okay, he said, I want to say it. I don't want to make people feel like I'm hating or anything and bad mouthing anybody else. But he said that when the guys got down 18, one of the players went up to a coach and told him, don't worry about it, coach, we got it. We got it. You know what I'm saying? I kind of thought, when you hear stuff like that, that's the type of thing that lets you know that players are taking accountability for the outcome and the results of games, and that's something that hasn't existed in Florida State and Tallahassee in a while, you know. That's something you want to hear. That's what you want to hear. You know what I'm saying? So, and I've always said this, that those players that was recruited in the 18 class, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I think that was Willie's first full class he put together.
Right.
Yeah, the 18 class with Trayshawn, with Helton and those guys, and yep. Deloach and those guys. You know, and I always hated when people said things like, "You got to get these guys, get certain guys out. You got to get guys out of program and get these type of players." And like, that class had a lot of pride to come here when FSU was down, and those right. are very prideful guys. And you know, they want to leave FSU better than what they came to it at. And right. I thought what you saw was a group of guys decide, we're not gonna just lay down, and coach, if you can just put us in the right position, man, we gonna do everything we can to make the plays. You know what I'm saying? So that's a big takeaway. That's something going forward that give you goosebumps, that make you say, okay, yeah, maybe 7 wins is on the board, maybe 8 wins is on the board, because.
We can definitely talk about that later, because I'm gonna be honest with you. I've adjusted my expectations on the season as well. Yeah.
But that's just that's an anecdote I wanted to put out there that I did hear that I thought was kind of telling.
And what's crazy is, I think even to elaborate more on that point, I felt like the coaches put them in that position. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I thought the coaches may have went into a little bit of a panic. I know I saw somebody posted, may have been Ingram, may have been somebody. You know, it was like the fourth down math said you were supposed to go for it in that situation because of the numbers or whatever it is. I disagree. I'm going to disagree. You was at the game. We were in the – you know what I mean? People who were at the game, people who watched on TV or whatever, were able to see that you only down 11, your defense was actually balling. If you had pinned them deep, you might have been, you know, matter of fact, it was a much better shot that I thought you would have had to hold in them. Had you, you know, kicked it from that, pinned them inside the 20, you probably would have gotten the ball back with better field position and not been down 18.
But let's go right into the coaching mistakes then, since we're already here. Let's just get right into that then. You know what I'm saying? Okay. There are two trains of thoughts with that, right? And mm-hmm. I've looked at the little fourth down math thing that they had, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say that you feel like your defense is going to give up the score anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you punt the ball, you feel like you're going to give up the score anyway. What they're doing is going to take off more time off the clock.
Yep.
But if you're giving the ball right there, you're taking off less time on the clock, they still give up the score anyway. That's one train of thought. Now, mm-hmm. if Norvell felt that way, okay, I can't really hate that decision in general. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
My opinion is you have to trust your defense. And I think if it was me, I would have punted the football, and I probably would have put in my second rotation of defensive linemen in to get my first rotation a break. And you could have done that anyway, which I got to go back and look at the play because I don't even know who's in the game. So I'm kind of like flying off the cuff with it. But I thought it was a bit panicky. I felt like you wanted to do it in that moment because you feel like that was the game. And I felt like that's how I felt. And that might not have been the case. He might have been looking at it and saying, hey, what if they're going to score, I'd rather give up 2 minutes worth of time than give up 6 minutes worth of time.
Right. And
which is something you can look at and say, okay, I can kind of see that math. You know what I'm saying?
I understand, and that's why I guess going back to I'll flip back, but going back to what I was saying was, that's what made it so good, that like your anecdote that you just said was the fact that the players looked at it and said, all right, I feel like, in my opinion, I felt like the coaches put us in this situation. We now down 18, and they looked and said, don't worry about the coaches, we still here with you, we got it. You know what I mean? I think it speaks more to the mentality and the mindset of this team when they can look at the situation from, again, if I'm a parent, if I'm a kid, if I'm a fan, whatever it is, oh man, coach, I don't necessarily agree with that decision. Not only did I don't agree with the decision for a couple reasons. One, because I thought it was dumb as hell that you ran the Wildcat, you just picked up 9 yards on two different plays. You know what I mean? Why not just stick with it, run it one more time? You know what I mean? Like, you just picked up 9 yards on two different possessions. Might as well keep them in there and do it. Why take them out? You know what I mean? That's a personnel change and everything into something that, frankly, your quarterback is just not good at. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that play was going to work regardless. I believe he decided he was going to run the ball.
Well, what I would have did was, instead of running that quarterback, that Wildcat with the running back, I think I would have ran a quarterback power with Travis. At least they got some type of threat of throwing the football.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I guess that was my main thing. Like, you're not – Freeman has saw you run that Wildcat a lot since you was at Memphis and now he's at Notre Dame. He's seen you run that Wildcat a lot to a lot of success. And Norvell has had a lot of success running that Wildcat. Right. But I felt like in that moment, I felt like Norvell and Dilly was searching. I felt like they were searching in the playbook at that time. Like, man, well, see, I need –
Going back to the coaching mistakes, I agree they were searching, right? Because at that point, Travis had just thrown another pick. Before the third, that was he threw the third pick on the fourth down. But before he threw a pick, you know what I mean? We can argue or whatever it is. I know, you know, people on my timeline was telling me it was an amazing play. Nobody could have made it, blah, blah, blah. I hear what you're saying. But what I'm saying is there was, like, as they've expanded the play, there was three other guys open on that play. He didn't have to make that throw. That wasn't even, in my opinion, that wasn't even the best decision to make on that play regardless. So, right. For me, I thought at that point, if you had a chance to pull your quarterback. Hey, if nothing else before a series, right. It was clear McKenzie Milton was healthy enough to play. Like, I think that was a question that everybody had. Okay, it's clear. McKenzie Milton ain't healthy enough to play. You know, it is what it is, whatever, right? So at that point, if nothing else before, change of pace. You know what I mean? Like, re-energize the team, change the pace or whatever it is. If you want to do a panic move, change the quarterback. You know what I mean? I thought at that point you could have swapped the quarterback out just to see what, you know, what McKenzie Milton gives you. So right. For me, that was a mistake for me. I thought not going to that – change that quarterback when you saw that, you know, he had started to see a ghost. I thought – That was one of the biggest ones for me. A lot of people say he should have started the game. I don't necessarily agree with that. I know, you know, that was a big uproar on the instant reaction show. You know what I mean? That got a lot of people like, no, he should have started. You brought him in. There was no reason for you not to start him. In my opinion, right. It's if you look at what that line did early on in that game, you don't want McKenzie Milton going out there at the beginning of that game.
No, you don't.
It would have been the exact same results. I don't know if it would have been the three picks, but he would have been hit. He would have got hit a lot. You know what I'm saying?
I actually think if you start McKenzie Milton, I think you might actually get blowed out of that game. It's tough because I think people want to say, well, he'll get the ball out quicker. Okay. If you're not blocking him and you come out there with Milton, I think Marcus Freeman makes the adjustment pretty quickly. Let's just mm-hmm. man up, go even, and we'll just shut this run game down, bring an extra guy in the box on the run game, and we'll even up across the board with 14 roaming. And I think you get blowed out, especially with the way that their offense was moving the football early on and the way you wasn't moving the football. I don't think you move the football at all. I think you get sacked a bunch. I think you get a lot of negative plays. And for the most part, Jordan Travis made it where we didn't get a lot of negative plays early. He kind of –
Yep.
He snuck out of a get lot back of to bad the line plays. Of scrimmage. Yeah, getting yeah, back just, to the line of scrimmage. Yeah. You know, I think you get blown out of that game if McKenzie Milton starts the game. I think so we in the quarterback part of the broadcast. You need both quarterbacks. That's just all this is just all that we don't have a quarterback, man. And how many years have we came on this podcast? Well, this is the second year, third year of the podcast. And I said this every year. You don't have a quarterback. You don't have a quarterback. You have guys that can play good in spots, but you don't have a legit starting quarterback. And I think that's the problem. And right now, I think Mike is doing a good job manufacturing yards out of this offense. The offensive line does not pass block well at all, mm-hmm. right? And you have to just admit that. Like, it's some things you just have to go into games knowing, okay, you play against a top 15 team, you maybe cannot pass block them, period. That's just – and I don't think it's nothing – like, that's not negative. That's just being honest. You play against a top 15 team, you won't be able to pass block them. Now, we've done a great job run blocking. We've done a great job run blocking, and I can see why you would start Jordan Travis because you want to keep running the football as much as you can because you're better at that. If you put McKenzie Milton back there, I don't know if you're going to get that, man. I just don't know if you're going to get it.
So I agree with you, right? And it's funny, we didn't talk about this ahead of time because a lot of people saying it should be McKenzie Milton's job going forward. And I'm saying, nah, it should be both their jobs going forward. Yeah. I think there's going to be situations and even there's going to be games where one quarterback is either hotter than the other one or his skill set just best suits the team that you're playing.
Right.
And those are going to be games, you know what I mean? And those are going to be games where McKenzie Milton is going to have to start, and they're going to be games where Jordan Travis is going to have to start. And right. as a coach, the players seem like they understand and they cool with it. You know what I mean? Yeah, Jordan Travis had nothing but positivity and praise. He was just as happy. He talked about the goosebumps and how he felt seeing McKinley Milton drive. So if you tell me both quarterbacks on board, they ain't no animosity, then right. In my opinion, I think it's simple. You play both. If we come out, if we come out against Wake Forest in the 2 weeks from now, and Jordan Travis is the starter because you feel like this is a better matchup, cool. And then a couple series in, if it's looking like, all right, Jordan may not have it right now, or Jordan starts to struggle, and McKenzie right. come on in the game real quick. You know what I mean? Let's see if you can jump start us or whatever. And if he continues on, he finishes out that game, cool. No harm, no foul. Everything worked out. Right. Vice versa. McKenzie Milton getting the game. He's struggling or whatever it is. You got to go to Jordan Travis. All right, Jordan, come in. Pick it. You know what I mean? Come in, save the day. And both of them basically are playing the hero role. You know what I mean? They're both coming in. And I think you make that clear, which is why I think if,
I think those quarterbacks know that. I agree. I think they know their limitations of what they can do, what they can't do. I think that we're making this a competition.
I agree.
I don't think it's a competition. I think McKenzie Milton has a role. Mm-hmm. I think Jordan Travis has a role.
I don't want to say we're making it a competition because there was an actual competition in the.
I'm saying the fan base . We're making it a competition. I don't think it's a competition. I think it's
going forward. No, I don't think it should be a competition at all. I think we should welcome seeing both quarterbacks whenever they get in the game. My only thing would be Mike has to also embrace that as well, and not.
I think he has though.
Yeah. No. I don't know if he has. We'll see.
Because here's the thing.
I think he waited too late to do it this week. Because if he embraced it earlier, then I think he would have pulled Jordan Travis early. Because, again, there were plays to be made that Jordan just wasn't making. He was running out of clean pockets and stuff like that. So, in my opinion, if he embraced that, you wouldn't have had those situations.
If you watch early in that game, and I'm going to just say this, and this is just – I think this is the problem with us as college football fans now. We've decided that when defense is playing good, that the offense is horrible. And sometimes the defense is just playing good. When a quarterback gets hit early, the way Travis was getting hit early, mm-hmm. we saw that with DJ Uiagalelei at Clemson with Georgia. When quarterbacks get hit early, man, it takes them a while to settle back down.
100%.
Tom Brady,
is the greatest ever. And Tom, same thing. The key to beating them is hit them early. Everybody knows
that. Hit them early, they take a little minute to settle back down. And I think you can't – like, what are you supposed to do, Jordan Travis, man? You got hit, and now I got to take you out of the game. And then McKenzie Milton, you get hit, and now I got to take you out of the game. You can't play the quarterback position like that.
I agree.
To let guys work through it. And think about this, dude.
But I think they reached a place in that game where he wasn't working through.
But my thing is this, though. Even though all the hits he took in that game, Jordan Travis threw a bomb in that third quarter.
100%.
That put them back in the game again. Yep. So, I mean, and he was driving.
And he made a great play down to Parchment.
And he was driving down the field before mm-hmm. his helmet came off.
Yep.
All right. So he was playing good football.
He had started to bounce back.
He was starting to play better. But I'm saying the whole thing is he has limitations. But guess what? Milton has limitations.
You got two quarterbacks with limitations. Yep.
Right. It's not like Jameis Winston is waiting in the wings of EJ Manuel. That's not what we have here.
Correct.
I'm not going to say that they're Drew Weatherford and McPherson. They're Drew Weatherford and Xavier Lee. These are mm-hmm. not great quarterbacks, man. I mean,
right.
they both had their thing. And guess what?
But their powers combined, they become Captain Planet. That's all we need them to do. I think that's where I'm 100% on board with playing both of them. I don't care when. It don't matter the situation. If Mike Novell tries out McKenzie Milton to start the game against Wake Forest, I'm going to say cool. If he started Jordan Travis to try out the game, I'm going to say cool. And then if midway through the game he got to go to McKenzie or vice versa, I'm going to say cool. Because in my opinion, I think both these quarterbacks have limitations, and both of these quarterbacks are good at what they're good at and bad at what they're bad at. At this present moment, it don't matter which one you put in. You got to look at whatever the situation is and make the best decision. My only question would be, don't wait too late. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't worry about the fans. Don't wait too late. If you lose a game where it clearly looks like McKenzie Milton would have won that game, or it's clear that Jordan Travis would have won that game, and you waited until you were down 17 and now you can't come back, see, that's going to fall on Mike, in my opinion. I think he has to be able to understand very quickly what the defense is doing, what the coordinator is doing, and then being able to say, all right, next series, Jordan, you going in. Next series, McKenzie, you going in.
It's tough.
And and both quarterbacks just be like, okay, cool, my turn, let's go. You know what I mean? Strap up and get it.
It's going to be tough to do that, man, because that's going to take a lot of feel. You got to really feel that out. I don't know how he's – like I said, that's a tough job he's going to have.
Steve did it. Steve did it with multiple quarterbacks at different times.
Steve had talented quarterbacks that he just – I mean, he had talented quarterbacks. I mean,
Rex Grossman and Jason Palmer
both was NFL quarterbacks. I mean, now we might not thought they was great, but they both was NFL quarterbacks. These guys are not NFL quarterbacks.
True. But I think he managed that situation very well, is what I'm saying.
Right.
He was able to understand. Now again, Mike ain't Steve. You know, Steve is great, and you know, it's paining me to say that, but Steve was a great coach. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it is. So I get it, right? But at the same time, you the coach of Florida State. You should be able to. You should be smart enough and understand game situation, what the defense is doing, or have somebody on staff to be able to say, you know, that you got an offensive coordinator who's also getting paid some money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you're not you two involved in the game or whatever it is, hey, Dillingham, you got to go out. Hey, listen, hey Mike, real quick, I think you need to make a quarterback change. I'm seeing some things that I believe Mackenzie Milton will be able to exploit. I'm seeing some things that I believe Jordan Travis will be able to exploit, and you do it that way.
And let's get to the defense now. I think we've pounded the offense enough.
Hold on, real quick. Before we get to the defense, I want to just talk about no drop balls.
Yeah.
I know it's simple, right? Because they wide receiver, they're supposed to catch it. But there was a lot of drop balls the year before.
Yeah.
And we gave some coaches a hard time for that. Mm-hmm. Receivers didn't drop passes.
And they blocked. The wide receivers blocked their ass.
And that was the second thing I was going to say. And they absolutely blocked. I mean, that's what you want. You know what I mean? Those are recipes for success. And those are things that translate. You know what I mean? When I say I adjust my expectation on how the team is because I say those things transfer from game to game.
We'll get into players in a minute about players we like and stuff like that. We'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
Let's go to the defense. I want to hyper focus on the defense. How did you feel about that defensive performance?
I'm going to shoot Adam Fuller some bail.
Okay.
And y'all know how reluctant I am to do that. But I'm going to say this, right? And I'm going to shoot him some bail for the early part of the game.
Right.
They went right down the field and touchdown, wide open tight end. And, it, you know, I think I tweeted out whatever it is. Adam Fuller in his bag early. And then I thought about it, right, as I went back and watched the game a second time. If I'm a defensive coordinator and I'm developing a game plan for Notre Dame, my game plan is going to be to kind of sell out on the run. They're going to come in, pound it down our throat. They did it last year. Untouched, ran for I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of yards. So I would think if it ain't broke, don't break it. So my thought was, all right, let's sell out to stop this run, which left tight ends open. And I think that even the linebackers, hey man, stop the run. Watch the running backs. And so I think they kind of were a little flat footed early on. You know what I mean? Early in that game, that first drive, because they was so worried about not getting gashed in the big runs.
Right.
Well, credit to, you know, Brian Kelly and his offensive, you know, and the offensive coordinator who said, nah, we're going to switch it up on you. Let's go five wide. Yeah. Let's throw the ball. We got this quarterback who nobody think can throw the ball or whatever it is, who's not very good, or at least from our perspective, wasn't very good. I thought he played excellent because he threw dimes. I mean, we talked about him not being able to throw, but the boy threw dimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I looked at it and I said, it happens. You put together a game plan that another team puts together a better one to start out. Where I give him the credit is because that very next drive they made the adjustment. And tight end stopped being open early at that part. They stopped him on the run. Again, if you told me before the game 65 rush total rushing yards on 35 attempts, less than 2 yards a carry, I'm saying Florida State wins that game. You know what I mean? And I'm also going to give Adam Fuller not only a pass, I'm going to give him credit. You know what I mean? So for me, I have very little complaints. I can nitpick, and there's some calls that I wouldn't have made. There's some situations and players, some substitutions that I thought needed to be cleaned up. Those are all nitpicky things. But as an overall defense, I love what I saw, man. They attacked. They triggered downhill. Safeties came up and made big hits. You know what I mean? Like – Jermaine Johnson is an absolute leader of your defense, which is something we have not had before in a long time. You know what I mean? We haven't had – who was the last leader of the defense? Marcus Joyner?
Probably Derwin
James. Jalen Ramsey? Derwin James. Derwin James was the last leader of the defense. So, since Derwin James, you haven't had a leader on your defense. Right. You had a bunch of players. You had some guys who made it.
And he got hurt, so.
Right, and Marvin Wilson was supposed to be, but he kept getting pushed on his ass, so ain't nobody going to – you can't lead from the ground. So, he wasn't it. So, I don't think they've had a legit leader in defense. Now you have one. He's going to be the spokesman. He's going to be the one who gets everybody hyped. He's the one. He's going to be the one who makes sure everybody's in the right position, and he's going to bring it every single play. And for me, I think he just got ACC Player of the Week, Defensive Player of the Week. Deserve it. Rightfully so. So, in my opinion, I got very little complaints, man. Brownlee came up and hit, you know what I mean? They missed some tackles or whatever it is, first game of the season. I expect to miss tackles. But they were aggressive. Make a mistake while being aggressive. I'll take that all day. Then you getting, you know what I mean, then it being 50 yards down the field, you didn't hit somebody, and now you want to celebrate it. That pissed me off. You being aggressive and hitting guys behind the line of scrimmage, it looked glimpses, not totally, but it looked glimpses like old Florida State.
Right. So this is tough for me, right? Because I think the guys played with passion. I think they played hard. The guys played hard. They played with passion. I don't think Notre Dame went into that game trying to run the football like that, though. I think they ran the football.
They ran it 35 times, though.
They ran it. If you take out the 9 runs by Jack Cohen, they ran it less than what they threw it for, right? They kept balance. They kept balance. You know what I'm saying? I think they was trying to pick on Florida State linebackers and pass coverage and the safeties and pass coverage more than they was trying to actually run the football. I think they knew they had a young offensive line, right? Kyron Williams ran for 18 times. He had 18 carries, 42 yards, 2.3 average, right? But his passing, he caught 6 balls for 83 yards, a 13-yard average, almost a 14-yard average with one touchdown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they mixed him up more in a passing game. They mixed him up a lot in the passing game and him and the tight end, which I'm fine with that. Which I'm fine with that and everything. I thought the plan was fine. I thought the plan they had was a solid plan. I think Notre Dame came in with a different idea of what they was going to do. I thought they had to make an adjustment to that. I think Florida State had to make an adjustment to that. I thought they made a decent adjustment to that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a few calls I didn't like, man. I mean, that 3rd and 17, and I heard Florida State today that they want to be aggressive.
Third and 17 is not the time to be aggressive.
Yeah, I thought I thought that was a little careless. Like, I was like, yeah, maybe you want to bring a blitz, but maybe you don't. Was it a zero blitz on that play? I felt like it was a zero blitz.
They sent the house.
Yeah, I felt like a lot of people came on that play.
I'm telling you, they sent the house. They sent everybody. They sent everybody on the 3rd and 17.
Deloach saved the play because Deloach was a blitzing guy and turned back around
to save the touchdown.
Make the play.
But that's what I'm talking about, right? That type of effort and that type of level, man, we haven't seen it. It would have been like, man, it was in bad call. It would have been an easy touchdown. You know what I mean? In the past, that would have been an easy touchdown. We saw it. We saw, and I know it's a crazy thing to say, right? When you look at it, you say, man, these dudes gave effort. You know, like, it seems crazy to be having that as a point of conversation, but.
Right, because you should just give effort because you got a D1 scholarship at Florida State, right? That should be a given.
But we hadn't seen it. And so for us, if you tell me we get an effort, constant effort, when we can go back through the schedule at the end of this, because I'm going to tell you why I got some wins, why I had losses, and I got some, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I'm optimistic about this season, not just from what I saw on the field, but also from what it seems like, you know, the players talked about. The players were legit bummed. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, you know how last year there was a lot of like fake. It was a whole lot of that. You know what I mean? Like, don't count us out. It just seemed stupid. Like dumb talk. It wasn't that. It was quiet. It was mostly quiet amongst the players, and a few players that did come out was like sad. You know what I mean? Like, damn, we sorry we let y'all down. Like, they went in with the mindset we was gonna win this game. It wasn't like we, you know what I mean? So like, it wasn't a case of we got overmatched or whatever. It was like, man, we thought we were better than they were. Yeah. We let one get away. And right. that's, again, we talk about mentality shifts. That's a complete mentality shift. So for me, it changes my outlook on how I view the team and what I'm expecting to see. So
well, they did a great job of just flat out competing, man. Even on some of those touchdown throws, and guys was
in position. It's hard to
in competing, and sometimes you got to tip your cap sometimes. So, but no, I think it's a lot because, man, I just think that's a lot of yards we gave up. I've seen a lot of open.
Yeah, but like you just said, hold on. But I think you going backwards though, because if you tell me, because if you say a lot of those throws were spot on, guys was in position, and they still gave up the yards, it's kind of, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of got to give it a pass a little bit, because I agree with you. He threw for 360 yards.
When you watch the game, they dropped a few balls that it was wide open.
They did. They definitely did to that tight end. Yeah,
He dropped he dropped some balls.
100%.
And I'm not knocking it, but I mean, I'm just saying I think I got a little ways to go before I say, okay, we got the right guy, D coordinator. I'm still not sold on that.
This is one game. This is me giving him credit for one game. I have not projected his career going forward. I have no idea what they're gonna do against Wake Forest, and I still don't believe in him. But I'm saying for this game specifically, I thought the game plan was solid. I thought he got effort from those guys, which says, if nothing else, it says they're willing to play for him.
Yeah,
they haven't lost faith. You know what I mean? And so if you tell me they're gonna continue to fight for him, they're gonna continue to play for him, okay. You know what I mean? That's what we want. That's what we want our coaches to do, and that's what it looks like. They're playing for Mike. They're playing for Fuller, and they're playing for themselves. You know what I mean? Like, pride. One other thing I want to point out, I don't know if we had it on I don't think we had it on the list to talk about, was the recruits, man. The recruits. He bet on, you know, and I saw a lot of people say Mike Norvell bet on himself this weekend by having such a high recruiting, you know what I mean, heavily recruited weekend and having so many potential commits come on campus. And every last one of them talked about the atmosphere and talked about, you know, what they love to see from, you know, what they love to see and out of the players. Right. And so for a guy to bet on himself, we've often talked about his, you know, inability to get players or whatever it is. He bet on himself and he hit it out of the park. So in my opinion, that's a big win. I think they will actually see some commitments in the, you know, coming weeks or whatever, as long as they can continue this.
Yeah.
I think they'll continue to see some positive momentum trends.
Okay. Yeah, I think they'd be fine on recruiting. I think this game set a table for them. I think they'd be fine on recruiting. I think they still finish that top 10, top 11 class that I kind of projected them to have.
And I think they finish top 5.
Yeah.
Especially if they get – here's the thing. Right? So, and we can go into it now if you want to, or if not, we can pivot to something else.
You talking about the recruiting?
No. I'm saying when I talk about top – I think their win total can get them in the top 5. And I think we were saying they were going to be – whatever it was, top 10
Go ahead on the win total. What games you flipping? Because I'm curious about this.
I already had them beating Wake Forest. I'm pretty solid on that one. I'm more solid on them beating Wake Forest. I actually got them beating North Carolina. I didn't see anything from North Carolina. I was already on the fence about that game to begin with. So and then I got Miami actually as a toss-up. I didn't think there was a chance we were going to beat Miami. I actually got Miami as a toss-up because, again, I didn't see nothing from Miami either. I'm also super solid on Louisville as well. We watched Louisville last night. Louisville ain't got nothing. Their offensive line is horrible. And if you tell us that we got our defensive line and we going in that game healthy, I honestly think we reversed what happened last year. So, I mean, what is that? I got two, possibly three wins to the total. To what my total was.
Yeah, so I'm not moving my win total because I think, and I said this, funny things can happen in game one. Like, you can sneak up on teams in game one and beat them. I've been pretty consistent on this. You can do it, right?
I 100% agree with that.
I don't know what to take out of the Miami-Alabama game, right? Because I think if Florida State would have played Alabama that first game, I think we would have got beat the same exact way. I mean, if not worse, right? Like, no, I'm not saying to be funny.
No, you're not lying. I mean, it's Alabama, real, man. Like, Alabama's going to beat the start out of somebody first week because that's what Alabama does. Yeah.
You're going to get that
work. Let's put this whole everybody on notice real quick that we for real still.
Yeah, you're going to get this work on that
first
game.
Yeah, come get this. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if we really would have been competitive in that game. And Miami was not competitive in that game. I think once you get past the top three teams in the country, right, mm-hmm. and that's Bama, Georgia, Ohio State right now, in my opinion. Ohio State got a little bit of a quarterback problem, I think. They got to figure that out. But once you get past those three teams, bro, I mean, again, Clemson's fringe at four, right? They're fringing at four. I think they got some things they got to work out to get back in that top three group. Yep. But, I mean, we're not going to play close, play even or play close with Clemson, right? I mean, you
don't. Let me say this. I'm not going to say we're going to beat Clemson at all, right? But whereas I thought we was going to get beat by 100, I might say it might end up being 30. We might get beat by 30. You know what I'm saying? If you give me a 45-28 or 45-24 game or whatever it is, okay. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel better about us because I think we have more stuff that translate into next week. Right, and one of those things, honestly, is effort.
I think that the effort is there. I assume that the guys would give effort this year. I might be the only person that felt this way. Maybe I guess,
you got to because I ain't have no. I didn't know we was getting effort until I saw effort.
I think the Miami game. I still got Miami beating us in that game. I think that game might be closer than
what that's it, what I mean. That's a toss up. That's why I said I didn't have it as a win for us. I say I got the Miami game as a toss up because I don't think Miami is as good as they were last year. So right. If you tell me Miami is not as good as they are last year, and we are better than we are last year, I think it's a closer game. If you tell me we can get into a close game with Miami, then why can't I say we can win it? You know what I mean?
You can't take anything from that Miami and Bama game. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, there is nothing you can translate.
Let's see what happens against Appalachian State and against what's his name.
Right, we can look at Appalachian State and say, okay.
Because I might have him going 0-3, honestly.
Yeah, I'm going to have to see that to believe
Pull up the schedule. Pull up the schedule and tell me. Appalachian State ain't no, and Alabama is one of them teams that beat you twice.
And I know we're making a lot of assumptions based on.
People are
making assumptions off this first week because, like somebody was saying, well, Clemson's starting to fall off. I'm like, bro, they just played against one of the best defenses that we've probably seen in the last 2 years. Yeah. Like, you cannot correlate what you saw.
That's 2013 FSU defense is what Georgia got right now. Yeah, there's no holes in that defense.
Yeah, you can't correlate what you saw with them in Georgia to the rest of the – to what they're going to look like against everybody
else. Because is everybody else going to be able to hit that quarterback early and often like they did? Yeah. Are they going to be able to get pressure? Are they going to be able to lock down one-on-one on the edge? Clemson, I didn't take very much from it because I think Georgia's defense is that special from what I've seen, right? Georgia's defense is very special.
But when you get into – okay, even like the Louisville game, right? And I watched Louisville, right? And I don't think Louisville's special. Right? I didn't think Louisville was special going into the season.
But we also had Louisville as a win, too, though.
I think you did. I got Louisville 50-50, right? But I think that Ole Miss, if you look at Ole Miss, what they was last year on offense, right? Mm-hmm. If they got competent on defense, okay, that's a top 25 team. 100%. I knew that going into the season, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think Louisville is close to a top 25 team. I think Louisville is a top 45 team, if that, right? Okay. But I also don't think we're a top 45 team. I think we're a top 65 team, right? 60-55, right? I'm not saying it to be fun. I'm talking about just depth. Like, when you're talking about depth-wise and things like that, I don't know how we
– absent of injury, I believe we are also a top 45 team.
You think so? Okay. I mean, it's not –
I think absent of injury, we are also a top 45 team.
Okay. Well, that's not
– If I had to look based on – again, I know what you're saying with week one, and I actually agree with you on it. But if I have to look at just what I saw, right? Just what I saw.
Well, my thing is this: a lot of teams last year, we're the team that we said COVID was the reason. A lot of teams last year was making progress last year. Ole Miss was one of them. Mm-hmm. Boston College was one of those teams. They was.
I still got to lose to Boston College.
Right, but I'm saying, like, when people say, "Okay, but now we're playing hard, we're giving effort." Well, these teams been giving effort. This ain't nothing new to these teams.
But so, I also think we also, from a talent level as well. Do you think we criticize those transfers, but all those transfers produced yesterday.
No.
I mean, the day before yesterday.
We question
whether you needed them.
no, I didn't question that. I questioned what impact would they make on a team, right? And I felt like I said I felt like the defensive transfers would make impact. I was questioning a lot of the, what the offensive transfers was going to bring to the team
if they weren't playing.
Okay.
But it looked like, I mean, from perspective, all of the offensive transfers and the defensive transfers did what they needed to do.
I think we got a solid foundation now, right? I think we got a solid foundation, and you're going to go into games, and I think you can look, go into these games thinking we got a chance to win these games, right?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's crazy to think that you can beat Wake, beat Louisville, beat North Carolina, beat Miami. I don't think it's crazy.
Which I never thought was crazy. Loss I think we had as well. That's what I'm saying. So that's all, and maybe that's a better way of putting it, right? I agree with you. At one point when we did the schedule, I didn't think there was any way possible we would beat any of those teams that you may have just named. Wake, North Carolina State, North Carolina, Boston College or whatever, right?
And Wake made pretty good progress last year too.
It's one of them veteran Wake teams, so we know, they always give us trouble. I'm not arguing. What I'm saying is, I didn't think there was a chance in hell that we would win any of those games. Right. I can now look at it and say, oh yeah, I think we're a better team than Louisville just because of what we've seen just from matchups. Yeah, Ole Miss may be a top 25 team,
right?
But Louisville's offensive line, and them jokers ain't good. You know what I mean? Like, and so if you tell us, which I believe our defensive line is a strength now, which from every position that came in, all had impact, right?
Right.
I didn't see the Pro Football Focus grade, but I think all of them probably had very high grades. So right. If you tell me that our defensive line is now a strength going against Louisville's offensive line, which in my opinion is a weakness,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say the game's a one in the trenches. Right. We're gonna still be able to run the football the same way Ole Miss was able to run the football because our guys do run block well. We got a three-headed monster at running back. Well, all three of those guys look like they can take it to the house at any point in time. Give me that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you give me the ability to run the football versus the ability to stop the other team's offense, I'm saying Louisville, for me, which was 50-50, or for you, which was 50-50, skews, right, in my opinion, more 70-30. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we have a better chance of winning that game than I think we did weeks prior or before the game was played. And I can say that same thing maybe about Wake Forest. I haven't seen them go up against any real competition, so I don't know, and we won't.
Right.
But, you know what I mean? But I can feel that same way about Wake. I can feel that same way about North Carolina because I can say, all right, well, based on what I see from North Carolina, what they really have this year that's better than last year, we were kind of anticipating Sam taking a step.
Sam Howell's better than Jack Cohen from Notre Dame, right? I mean, we know that.
I don't know that. Based on what I see, I go with Jack Cohen. According to the draft scouts, and I agree with what you're saying, technically he is better. He should be better. But if I had to put both quarterbacks' performances again on this week, Sam Howell couldn't hit the broads out of a bar, and Jack Cohen would throw a dimes. You know what I mean? So I get what you're saying. You're right. No, Jack Cohen is not better than Sam Howell. But based on what I've seen, one quarterback outplayed another quarterback. One quarterback with throwing dives and one other quarterback could not hit open receivers. Now, do I believe Sam Howell will always not be able to hit open receivers this season? No. But what I can say is that he ain't Lamar Jackson. He ain't Trevor Lawrence. He ain't, you know what I mean? So, all right, if you tell me he ain't Trevor Lawrence and he ain't Lamar Jackson, then I'm going to say, all right, why do I think we can't win, especially when we beat that same dude last year with a better team?
Okay, so let's get to this. What players are you up on after one game? What players are you down on after one game? How you feeling?
Players I'm up on, Brownlee. He's the one who surprised me.
Really? Brownlee been a beast since last year.
No, Brownlee was a different beast this year. Brownlee was a different beast this game. Like, Brownlee would say, like, he was shot out of a cannon. He played reckless. I'm trying to find a comparison for him because of his size, but he looked NFL. You know what I mean? Like his speed. You know what I mean? His speed, his ability to track the football. I mean, he made big hits on, you know what I mean? He made big tackles. Like, again, we always talk about them bubble screens that seem to always go for 7-8 yards no matter how many times they ran them.
Yeah.
But he was able to shoot past those. I mean, other things that we were like, man, I wish we had DBs that did that. You know what I mean? Like when we watch our team play.
Yeah.
Brownlee did that. And for me, it made me excited to see it, man. It made me happy to see, man. So I'm up on Brownlee on defense, on offense. McClain.
Yeah.
I mean,
McClain was otherworldly.
McClain, first of all, that boy's stride is wonderful to see, man. That boy caught that thing, and I was like, "Ooh, that boy floating." You know what I mean? Like that's gonna translate, not just this year, but you talk about years to come. We got a few years to watch that boy float down the field. So McClain was great to see. But not only that, he coming in blocking from the jump. Yeah. He coming in making giving 100% effort, key blocks. Reminded me a lot of Rashad Green early on, man. I hate to put that pressure on him and, you know what I mean, and compare him to one of the greats. But, hey, McClain was something special to watch, man, on Saturday. Just from if you look at all the things that he did besides, you know, just besides catching the ball. Him catching the ball was something fun to watch because he caught it effortlessly with his hands, strided down the middle of the field. It looked pretty. But then when you look at, okay, the true freshman had the highest Pro Football Focus Drake run blocking grade on your team, give me that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I signed up for that all day. So.
Yeah, so of course I got McClain. I'm up on McClain. I'm up on Brownlee.
I think it's obvious Jermaine Johnson is, you know, we ain't got
to. Yeah, I mean, that's you don't think Jermaine gotta, Johnson good. I mean, I was questioning. I was wondering, like, how good is he?
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking to myself, now, like,
that boy may go in the first round.
How good is that Georgia defense?
Right, because this dude split reps. He split reps with another starter. Yeah, somebody was like he couldn't start on Georgia defense, and that's not true, first of all. He actually split starter reps with another guy, but you got to think about it. It was 50-50 with somebody else on Georgia's defensive line, and Georgia's defensive line is crazy.
Thinking about myself like, dude, that defense. Because I mean, think about it. Brenton Cox over there in Florida. The Brenton Cox Jr. at Florida, he pretty good at Florida. So it's like they like two defensive ends they just didn't even need. Like, you know, that's
we got us one. Georgia. Appreciate that, Georgia. Shout out.
They got some linebackers they want to give up. I'll take one or two of those too. But
man, give me a Georgia.
What is Georgia doing over there, bro? But no. So I'm up on
his impact was crazy in that game.
Yeah,
you felt his impact early and often.
Yeah, real crazy. So I'm up on Brownlee. I thought Akeem didn't play a decent game. Wasn't great. Decent. I thought, but I think he's back more to his natural position too.
It's gonna take a minute.
Yeah, people are down on Travis J. I'm not down on Travis J.
Travis J was in position.
I think he was in position, and I think everybody ain't gonna be Jalen Ramsey, man. Okay, like everybody's just not gonna be.
He made some mistakes, but I think they're all fixable. You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't. Yeah, they were fixable. Yeah, they're fixable.
I think in the long term, I think he's going to be fine, okay?
I agree.
I was a little down on Gibbons, the old lineman, dude. He had a lot of infractions, dude, like a lot of
infractions.
Jump starts, false start. I was like, well, damn, is Lucas back in the game? Like, what's going on?
But he did. He came. He actually started. He ended up going in the right guard.
Yeah, he did. He did end up going to the right guard. So, but I was a little down on Gibbons a little bit, but he did kick out that one player for the 88 yard or so.
I'm down on the entire center position.
Yeah, they had some moments there, didn't they?
I'm trying to figure out who he was seeing over there. I know I heard somebody mention injuries or whatever it is. Man, then don't have him out there. If you can't snap the ball straight, because in my opinion, I think we win that game in regulation. I think it was setting up for them Rudy moments. In reverse, we was ready to carry McKenzie Milton off their shoulders if that snap was going. In my opinion, I think he was gonna make something happen and we was gonna score a touchdown. I just think the momentum was trending that way, and then you roll a ground ball to our quarterback, who even again smart enough to keep us in field goal range. You know what I'm saying? Most quarterbacks would have dove on it and taken whatever it is. Smart enough, the awareness enough to pick it up, get outside, and then get it back to the line of scrimmage. Man, is a veteran play that I'm not sure Jordan makes. In that same situation, that's one of veteran moves, one of veteran situations. So,
right, yeah,
my opinion. So, but yeah, the center position as a whole, I'm down on. Fix that.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. So, man, that was a good show, man. That was a good show. We'll be back. I guess we'll try to do a live on sometime this week. That was a good show, man. I appreciate the way those guys fought. I heard those guys played. I thought they really he really came up and played hard, man. So
you down on anybody else on defense?
I'm not going to talk about – I'm not going to name guys on defense right now. I'm going to leave it alone because people get very upset. They want to, you know – Everybody
no man, speak your mind, man. Come on, I mean, give me one play on defense. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not down with anybody on the defense right now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Nobody on defense. I was like, put it like this. When I say down, that means you may not be fixable. Like I think you're a bad football player. In other words, you know what I mean? You got to be replaced. I didn't see nobody who I was like, please don't put that dude back out there again.
I'm gonna hold my comments until next week. I want to see some more.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I want to see some more.
Center position. I'm saying fix it. Like I'm saying, fix. Like that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm down in the center position. I don't care who you put out there, just as long as it's fixed. You know what I mean? Like get them dudes out of there. They can't snap the ball to your quarterback. You know, again, there was multiple times. Man, there was one fumble that I don't know how in the world Notre Dame didn't get. Just you know what I mean? Just lucky bounce or whatever it is, because it hit the running back as he was trying to catch it. People don't understand, and the reason why I harp on it, man, that quarterback center exchange is very important because it disrupts the timing. If that snap is just a little bit out here and that quarterback got to reach his hand, it disrupts the running back who now has to get the handoff. And again, you're talking about a game of inches, but it's also a game of milliseconds and seconds. So if the quarterback has to now wait a couple, you know what I mean? Wait a second before, because he got to catch the ball now, reach and rotate it, then drop back. That's a second that he don't have to get rid of the football. So fix that center position. That's the only position I can say that I don't want to see, you know, I don't want to see anybody out there who ain't going to be able to get it done.
You know what? I forgot to say this too, man. Quayshon Fuller. Shots out to Quayshon Fuller.
You right. We dogged Quayshon last year. No. Quayshon was the slowest man out there. He didn't look like he wanted to play football. I would question whether he wanted to play football. Like, he was just so slow. I didn't know who he was. When he came around that corner, player. I was like, who is that? That ain't Quayshon. We had another Fuller. I had a look. I was like, wait, we got another Fuller? That ain't Quayshon. I know. Quayshon, because that dude moving. Yeah. Nah, that ain't Quayshon. Then it came again. I was like, wait a minute. Quayshon, I ain't giving it up.
Yeah, dude. Back to back, big time play. Dude, Quayshon Fuller. I was like, yo, and you know what? I got to give Wig credit. Wig said Quayshon was turning it around, so. Gotta give him credit, man.
Hey, man, we done giving Wig credit. We gave Wig credit early by something else. I am not giving Wig no more credit today. But he did. Listen, man, Wig's thing has always been patience, man. Like, you got to trust the process. He, you know, I think he up there from that 76ers era, you know. So maybe, you know, he all about patience and trusting the process. So, you know, but no, he was right. He was definitely right on that. He was right on both of them, on Corbin and on Quayshon, because we were both down on both of those guys. I know I was down on Corbin, and you both was down on Quayshon, because again, he looked unathletic.
He's just so slow to get out the blocks, man. He would just get out the blocks. It's like, it seemed like it took him forever. And
but God, man, he was shot out of a cannon this week. I mean, yeah, he was around that edge. Times. Yeah, he was trying that edge, man. And you love to see it, man. I love to see it, which again gives me a lot of faith in the coaching staff, which we've been hard on. We said we wanted to see some things, and the furniture, you know?
Yeah.
Got to get, you know what I mean? The furniture.
I mean,
you know?
Well, he's taking 3 years off, 4 years off, so maybe he's
– maybe he's back. Yeah, he's had his sabbatical. Up. Yeah, maybe he's sabbatical. He's back, and he ready to coach again. Mike Novell got everybody ready to coach again. Maybe he don't threaten them all. I don't know what he did, but whatever he did, we got wide receiver group looking good, the defensive line looking good, linebackers played better, linebackers played. That's another thing I guess we can talk about either. Linebacker group played decent. Wasn't terrible. Was decent.
Yeah, I thought the Loach played a really good game. I thought they did a good job moving Gaynor around.
They did, Gaynor made some plays. I thought he was out of position at times, but it wasn't terrible. And here's the other thing, they were downhill. They weren't standing flat-footed. You know what I'm saying? They weren't standing flat-footed. They were coming downhill. And
they seemed like they all knew what they were supposed to be doing. So,
and that's true as well.
They was asked to do. So, you know.
Wasn't a whole lot of this. Wasn't a whole lot of this. We saw it early that first drive, but we didn't see a whole lot of this. Yeah. And we said that was a Florida State staple, man. It was going to be a big touchdown, and everybody's going to be like, hands in the air. So, no, that definitely speaks to this coaching staff or whatever. We give them a lot of credit, man. But, listen, you got anything else, man?
No, man, make sure y'all leave some comments, click the subscribe button, hit the notification button. Go to Apple, man, rate 5 stars, leave a comment, say go nose under the Apple comment, just put a go nose on the Apple comments for me, five stars, and we'll be back, man, sometime this week, I'm thinking.
Absolutely, man. I doubt we'll do a preview episode of this week, but maybe we'll kind of do like just an advance. Talk. Yeah, we'll do an advance. So we'll just, you know, because I imagine there'll be some storylines that are coming out later in the week, but we're going to definitely get back to doing two a week. Like Sam said, man, going to Apple, it means a lot. Tell people, man, we got way too many listeners, but not enough subscribers, man. So for real, like, if you have not hit that subscribe button, just go hit the subscribe button. Tell your mom and them. They don't even got to listen to the podcast. Just hit the subscribe button. You know what I mean? Tell some friends. You at the job. Just, hey, man, what y'all doing? You got a phone? Let me hold your phone real quick. And just go to YouTube and about them. Hit the subscribe button for them. We want to get those subscriber numbers up, man. But as always, we appreciate y'all listening, man. This is the Listen Up Podcast. We are out.
You just heard the Listen Up Podcast. Yo. Serve crack. I'm gon' front me some